I've been preaching a series of messages that have been focusing on the blessings of God. And we've been discovering that God really, really does want to bless us. And He really, really does. And if there's one thing that I desire for you, and there are many things, but if there's one main thing, it is that you will experience the blessings of God on your life. As many of you know, in this series of messages, we've explored some of the areas of God's blessings. That is, beginning with cultural blessings, God blessing nations and people groups. And we've discovered that God blesses us culturally and materially, and He blesses us relationally in our relationships, and He blesses us directionally by giving us purpose and direction in life. And then we spend a lot of time focusing on the spiritual blessings that God has provided for those who are in Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, ladies and gentlemen, that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places for those who are in Christ. I'll tell you, listen to me now. And if you're in Christ, you are indeed blessed. And so over the past few services now, we've been trying to discover what I'm simply calling the avenues of God's blessings. And that is the avenue being a road or an avenue that you and I need to get on and travel on if we're going to experience the blessings of God in our life. And we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, in the first of this part of the messages, we discovered that first of all, if you're going to experience the maximum blessings of God in your life, you got to get on the avenue of salvation. And we discovered in Matthew chapter number 7 that there are two avenues in life. There's a wide road, a wide avenue, and there is a narrow one. And the wide avenue is wide because many people are on that avenue. As a matter of fact, all of humanity is on this avenue, on this road that leads to destruction. Adam stepped onto the road when he sinned against God, and for that reason, all of Adam's descendants, which is us, and we're all on that road. But God made another way. He provided another avenue in Christ, and it's described in Matthew 7 as a narrow road with a straight gate, and there's only one way onto that narrow avenue, and His name is Jesus. And if you received Christ as Lord of your life and you know Him, then now you're on a brand new avenue. You got off the avenue leading to destruction, and you're on the avenue that leads to life, everlasting life. If you've been born again, it's the avenue of salvation. Now, I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that all of God's creation experiences some of His blessings. And let me remind you that when the sun shines, it shines on those who are saved and those who are not. And when the rain comes, it rains on the just and on the unjust. Just to remind you that God has blessed all of His creation. But I want to tell you that while God has blessed all of His creation, it's those who are on Salvation Avenue who are experiencing the ultimate blessings, the maximum blessings that God had intended for all of humanity. It is found in Christ. If you're on Salvation's Avenue, then you're on the right road. It is the road, ladies and gentlemen, that leads to the maximum, the ultimate blessings of God. And I'm so thankful that many of you already are. If you're not on Salvation's Avenue, if you've never received Christ as Lord of your life, that we've been praying for you, that God would so deal with your heart and work in your life, that even tonight or in the days ahead, that He would so reveal to you that you're on the wrong road, headed to everlasting destruction, and convict your heart and bring you to the point of brokenness over your sin and to the point of believing or receiving Christ as the Lord of your life. But if you're on Salvation Avenue and you're traveling down that road, and that is, you're saved and traveling down Salvation Avenue, you'll notice that there are some other roads off of Salvation Avenue that if you'll get on those roads, they will lead to God's blessings in your life. God wants to bless you in many areas of your life. We discovered that one of those avenues is the avenue of humility. That is, being humble, not going down the road of pride, but the road of humility, like our Lord exampled for His disciples when He washed their feet and He said to them, listen, if you know these things and if you'll do what I've done to you, if you'll humble yourself, then you will be happy. Also translated, you will be blessed. It is the road of humility. I spent some time in a recent message just comparing where pride leads as compared to where humility leads, and we found out that it's humility that leads to the blessing of God. Get on the avenue of humility. We discovered this past Wednesday night that if you and I are going to be blessed of God, there's another road, and that is the avenue of prayer. Listen, if you are on the road or the avenue of salvation, then now, because of who you are in Christ and what God has done, you can walk with God in prayer. And there are some blessings that, listen to me now, there are some blessings that God has intended for you that you'll only experience when you walk with Him in prayer. There are some things that God wants to give you that you're going to have to ask. Ask, Jesus said, and it shall be given you. And seek, and you will find. And knock, and keep on knocking, and it will be open unto you. There are some things that God wants to give you, bless you with, that are only discovered and experienced through that kind of praying. And so you walk going down the right avenue. If you're on the avenue of salvation, there's an avenue called humility that leads to the blessing of God. And there's an avenue called prayer that leads to the blessing of God. And we begin discovering in the service this morning that there's another avenue that you and I have to consider. And it is what I call the avenue of repentance. The avenue of repentance. You and I discovered in the service this morning that whenever you're traveling down Salvation Avenue, enjoying the blessings of God, there are times whenever you'll run up on a roadblock. And there'll just be a roadblock in your way, and you'll find yourself sort of stopped, not going and not growing, but just kind of stopped there. And you and I discovered that roadblock is there, and the reason why God put it there is because there's something in your life that God is wanting you to repent of. Something that God's wanting you to turn away from. There's some stuff in your life that God knows is going to hurt your witness. There's some stuff in your life that God knows is going to cause you to not be able to grow and become everything God wants you to be. And listen to me now, the word that describes that is the word sin. And that is sin, ladies and gentlemen, is when you and I miss the mark. And that is we're not what God intended for us to be. We fall short and we miss the mark. Sin is trespassing against God. It's when God draws a boundary line and you and I step over that boundary line. That is by doing what God said not to do and by not doing what God said to do. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't really care what God said. Now, that just qualifies you for what I'm talking about tonight. That's sin. Sin is the idea of living your life the way you want to with disregard for the boundary lines that God has placed. And when you've got sin in your life, ladies and gentlemen, sin always results in destruction. That is the end result of sin. When it's finished, it brings forth death or destruction into life. Now listen, God wants to bless you. He doesn't want you to ruin your testimony. He doesn't want you wreck your life. But God wants to stop you before you get to that point. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and that is you came up on a roadblock one day, and you sat there and you looked at it and wonder why in the world that roadblock is on this avenue that you're traveling down trying to get somewhere, and there's a roadblock, and probably maybe one of the reasons why there might have been a roadblock is because there's a flooded road up ahead. Or maybe, ladies and gentlemen, the road is washed out, or maybe there's construction up ahead and there's a roadblock stopping you from going down that road that potentially could lead to destruction in your life. And there may be some things in your life that God the Holy Spirit knows about that could lead to destruction in your life. A destroyed testimony, listen, and destroying your purpose in life, what God has gifted you to be able to do, and God has got a roadblock up there to stop you from destroying your life. And if you'll notice, that is where that roadblock is at, there's another road right off to the right. That is a road that you can get on. The roadblock is there, so you'll get off the road that leads to destruction, and so you'll get on the road called repentance, the avenue called repentance. That's where God wants you to get on. He wants you to repent, that is, He wants you to turn away from whatever that sin is that's bringing potential destruction into your life. Child of God, that means you. You say, Pastor, well, I'm a child of God, and I've been saved by the grace of God, and all of my sin is forgiven, and I'm in a right standing with God, and I believe that's right. And whenever I'm talking about repenting of sin, I'm not talking about the fact that you could lose your salvation. I'm just concerned you're going to lose your blessing. God wants to bless you. He wants to use you. He wants you to know His presence, His power, and His blessings in your life. And sin will destroy that, and that's why God puts up a roadblock to stop you and to turn you around and get you on the road called repentance. And the Bible uses that word throughout. That is all the way back through the Old Testament and through the New. The word repent is used over and over again to describe that experience of turning away from sin and of turning to God. You remember Proverbs 28:13? I remind you of this, and that is the Bible says that he that covereth these sins shall not prosper. Hey, you're not going to be blessed. The idea of prospering is being blessed. You're not going to prosper if you don't deal with sin in your life. And if you just keep right on excusing sin, If you sit there, that roadblock, and you say, well, it's not that bad, it's going to be all right, and you start and keep excusing sin, you will not prosper. You will not be blessed like God wants to bless you. But the Bible says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. What am I going to do with the stuff in my life that I know falls short of the glory of God and the areas of my life where I've trespassed against God? What am I going to do with that? Let me just remind you that repentance means confessing it for what it is. Hey, stop offering an excuse for it, and why don't you just get honest with God and just say, Lord, I know that what this is in my life, this is sin. Just confess it for what it is. And then the Bible says we need to forsake it where it is. That is, we need to confess it and then forsake it. That is, leave it right there at the roadblock and get on the avenue called repentance and don't take it with you. Hey, listen to me now. Just forsake it right where it is. And then listen to me now. The Bible commands us then to turn to Christ for who He is. If you're saved on the road of salvation, that means that He is Lord of your life. When you received Him not only as Savior, but as Lord of your life, because He is Lord. And listen, you need to turn to Him and let Him be who He is in your life. Instead of allowing sin to dominate your life, let Him be Lord of your life. Whatever that is that's holding you back and trying to slow you down, listen to me now, whatever it is, you need to turn away from it and let Jesus be Lord over your life. You need to lay it aside. Hebrews 12:1 says, that is the sin that easily besets you or is holding you back, that's stopping you from moving forward. The Bible says that we need to lay it aside. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, that is the corruption that's characterized our life before we got saved, that we need to put it off like an old dirty garment. Just put it off. Take it off. Leave it right there at the roadblock and get on the avenue called repentance. Absolutely. That's God's. Listen, if you want to get on the avenue that leads to blessing, you're going to have to get on the avenue of repentance. Oh yeah, just every once in a while, God's just going to bring you to a roadblock. And you're just going to sit there, not going, not growing, just sitting there. If you sit there very long, you'll start getting hungry. You know what I mean, don't you? And that's true physically, right? If you sit at a roadblock very long, you're going to get hungry and decide, I need to turn around. Well, I'm going to tell you that if a child of God sits at a roadblock very long and you're not going and you're not growing, something on the inside of you starts getting hungry. Hungry for God and hungry for His presence and hungry for God to use you and hungry for His blessings in your life. And before long, you say, you know what? I need to turn around. And you know what that turnaround is called? It's called repentance. I need to get off of this, get away from this roadblock, and I need to get on the right avenue. I need to repent. Confessing my sin for what it is, forsaking it right where it is, and then turning to our Lord for who He is and letting Him be Lord of my life. That's what it is. Now, we started looking at some examples of this in the service this morning, and we went back to the Old Testament, and we looked at the example of a country. That is in Isaiah 1, you remember, don't you? And by the way, you could be turning over to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 7, if you want to. But in the service this morning, we looked at the example of a country, and the country is Judah. That is the southern tribes and the nation of Judah, God's people, ladies and gentlemen. And we discovered that they were at a standstill. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, they were hitting a roadblock and God has stopped them in their tracks and they're not going and they're not growing. And God called them to repentance. He revealed their sin. He revealed the judgment that was upon them as a nation. And He called them out to repent. He told them to wash, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes ceased to do evil and to do, learn to do well, to do what is right. And if you'll do that, He said, He told that country, if you'll do that, if you'll repent, then you'll eat the good of the land. You will be blessed in that land that you're in. But if you don't, if you rebel, if you refuse and rebel, you're going to be devoured by the sword. The enemy that is an enemy nation is going to come and destroy you. So you can either eat the good of the land or you can be eaten, one or the other. You get to decide. The issue is whether you're going to repent or whether you're going to rebel. So we have the example that we dealt with this morning, the example of a country. I want you to notice with me in the book of Joshua, another example is the example of a camp. The example of a camp. Let me give you the setting in Joshua chapter 6 and 7. And the Bible describes to us what happened whenever the Israelites entered into the land of Canaan. Now, you remember this, don't you? God promised Abraham that he was going to give him not only descendants, they're going to become a great nation, but they were going to have a land. Listen, every nation has to have laws and has to have a land, and God gave them the laws at Mount Sinai, and he gave them the land. That is, those who were redeemed out of Egyptian bondage, that is, Abraham's descendants ended up in Egypt and during the time of Jacob and his children, and about 70 of them. And while they were living in Egypt, those 400 plus years, they grew into a largely populated family, and it was time for God to give them the land that he wanted to give them. And so he sent a Savior named Moses to deliver them out of Egyptian bondage. You remember the Passover, the blood on the doorpost, and the angel passed over on that last, the 10th plague in the land of Egypt. And after that, Pharaoh sent them out, and they left the land of Egypt. They took and spoiled the Egyptians as they left, and the Bible says that finally Pharaoh changed his mind, and the reason why is because without his slave labor, his economy was going to be in trouble, so he went to chase them down all the way up to the Red Sea, and you remember the story. I'm trying to get a lot in a short time. They got to the Red Sea, and they were really between a rock and a hard place, or maybe between a rock and a wet place, at the Red Sea. And the Bible tells us that God told Moses to hold up his rod, and a big wind came, and God parted the waters and dried out the ground, and they crossed over the Red Sea. When Pharaoh's army decided to cross over after them, God brought the water back, and they drowned in the Red Sea. And on the other side, Moses is singing a song. On the other side of the Red Sea, dead bodies are washing up on the shore, and they are rejoicing and singing the victory that God gave them. And there was a cloud that showed up that was guiding them, ladies and gentlemen, a miraculous cloud, the glory of God in the form of a cloud that was visible to them. And they saw it and was guiding them along into the wilderness. It was in the wilderness that God miraculously provided water from the rock. It was in the wilderness that God miraculously provided manna and quail for them to be able to eat. And God was providing for them. He led them to Mount Sinai. And there was Mount Sinai where they spent several months, and God revealed to them and gave them the Old Testament law. And then they went to Kadesh Barnea. That's a location right along the edge of the Promised Land. And now it's time to go into the land and claim it. They sent 12 spies into the land. They didn't need to, but that's what they wanted to do. And so Moses allowed it, and the spies came back, and 10 of them said, "The land is great, and the people are like giants. We're like grasshoppers, and there's no way we can take the land. They've got experienced armies, and we don't have any, and there's no possible way for us to take the land." But there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, and they said, "Yes, we can. If God said we can take it, then we can take it." And they were operating by faith. They were just believing what God said, and they were willing to step out by faith. But all the congregation of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, rebelled against that. They mourned and they grieved all night long. And the next morning they got up and they were about ready to kill Moses and his brother Aaron and get some new leaders and go back to Egypt, when the glory of God showed up and stopped them in their tracks. And God said to Moses, "I'm going to destroy them all." And Moses got to praying, and God changed his mind, decided not to destroy them, but to turn them out into the Sinai wilderness to wander around 1 year for every day the spies were in the land, that is for 40 years. And during that 40 years, God said, "I'm going to, all of that generation that refused to operate by faith and go into the land, they're all going to die. And that younger generation, that is those children and young people, ladies and gentlemen, they're the ones that are going to grow up in the wilderness. And growing up in the wilderness, they're going to see their parents and their grandparents dying off. They're going to see the consequences of not trusting God and not believing God." And Joshua and Caleb were in that generation. That is, it was seeing the hand of God in the wilderness. And as they were growing up, God began to raise up a people that were willing to walk by faith, willing to live by faith. And the Bible tells us after those 40 years, God took Moses up into a mountain, and it was time for him to go home. He let him see the Promised Land, but he wouldn't let him go in because of the sin in his own life and his resistance against the will of God. At one point, he wouldn't let him go into the land. So he died up on that mountain. God took him home. And he appointed Joshua as his successor, that is, as the leader that would lead the Israelites. And Joshua got them ready, ladies and gentlemen, and told them to sanctify themselves and get ready. And the reason why is because we're going into the land of Canaan. They were right there at the edge of the Jordan River, and the Jordan River was at flood stage. And the Bible tells us that he told them to sanctify themselves. He told the priest to get the Ark of the Covenant and to get to stepping. And ladies and gentlemen, at the right time, as they stepped into the waters of the Jordan River parted once again. Sure did. I want you to think about all the miracles that this generation saw. The hand of God. Listen, this is a redeemed people, redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. Brought through the Red Sea, they saw the miraculous provision of God, and they saw the waters divided. They were just little tots back then, but now they're adults, and now they're seeing the waters parted again, the Jordan River, and they cross over on dry ground. Ladies and gentlemen, across the Jordan River, they get to the other side, and the first major city they come to is the city of Jericho. Now, the Bible tells us when they got to the city of Jericho that Joshua got alone with the Lord and God started speaking to him, and he just obeyed God, and God told him to get the folks together and just march around the city of Jericho every day for 7 days. And then when on that seventh day, they march around it seven times and blow the trumpets and give glory to God. And God said the walls are going to come down. And when the walls come down, here's what I want you to do. And that is, I want you to go into the city and I want you to destroy everything inside the city. The judgment of God was coming upon the people of Jericho and on the city of Jericho that had resisted and rebelled against God. There was only one citizen in the city of Jericho, ladies and gentlemen, that believed God and trusted God, and it was a prostitute named Rahab who hid those spies who came into the city, who hid them in her house. She trusted God, she believed God, and therefore God saved her. She's the only one. Everyone else and everything else, God said, was to be destroyed. And in Joshua chapter number 6, Jericho fell. That is, the city was destroyed. God is giving them the victory. You're talking about a blessing from God. Oh, listen to me now. For the people of God, the redeemed people of God, for us to by faith just obey God and see walls come tumbling down. Amen. Now listen to me now. Some of those walls aren't literal walls. Sometimes there's things in your life and things that are hindering the people of God that just kind of start falling apart, and God starts giving the victory. They're seeing the power of God and the blessing of God. God is blessing them with victory. This camp of Israel, of Israelites, they're camping out now. God's led them into the promised land, and they are camping out. But notice in Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 1, we meet a man by the name of Trouble. You say Trouble, that's what his name means. Chapter 7 and verse number 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Remember what a trespass is, that's sin. They did what God said not to do. They committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan's name is Trouble. That's what his name means. And I tell you, this guy brought trouble into the camp. And the reason why he brought trouble into the camp, ladies and gentlemen, is because whenever they went into the city of Jericho, God said everything was, don't you take anything. There were some specific things that God allowed them, the leadership, to take. But God said everything is to be destroyed. And the Bible tells us about this guy named Achan. He was troubled, and the reason why he was troubled is because he trespassed or sinned against God. Now, it's not hard to figure this out. That is, he got into the city of Jericho, and when he got in there, he saw some garments, and he saw some gold and treasures. And he thought to himself, you know what? There's no need of destroying all of this. And that is, we'll destroy most of it, but what's it going to hurt for me to just take a little bit? Now, I want you to think about this guy for just a moment. And that is, this is one of the men that is Achan. He's one of the guys that as a little boy, we're going to say, as a little boy, he was living down there in Egypt and watching his parents in bondage when God brought him out. As a little boy, he saw the waters parted in the Red Sea, and he crossed over with those great walls of water around him. Hey, as a little boy, he saw God thundering on Mount Sinai and the glory of God coming upon that mount. As a little boy, he heard the report of the spies and he saw his parents grieving, afraid that they weren't going to be able to take the land and be destroyed there. As a little boy, he probably went out and picked up the manna off the ground. Can you see him right now? This little fellow, like some of the little boys in this room, daddy's saying, hey, Ethan, why don't you go out there and pick up the manna this morning? And he went out and he picked up the blessing of God off the ground and brought it into the house for them to eat for that day. Hey, don't you know that maybe he was there and saw the water as it came out from the rock when Moses struck the rock? He saw all of that, ladies and gentlemen. He saw that. It was this man, this little boy, that is Achan, probably, that heard the report of the spies and heard the cry of the Israelites. And it was this little boy who had been with his parents and grandparents and his friends and neighbors wandering around in the wilderness now for 40 years. And do you know that during those 40 years, ladies and gentlemen, he never got any new clothes. You see, out there in the wilderness now, there's not a Walmart. There's not a Target store. There's not wherever you go buy your clothes. As a matter of fact, I know this is going to be a shock to you and a little bit hard for some of you to take, but just hold on with me for a little while. Listen to me now. There was no online shopping. There's no Amazon. That is, there wasn't a truck to pull it up along the camp of the Israelites and left some clothing at their door. Hey, this man has been wearing the same clothing all that time. Now, some of you won't even put your clothes on a second day. It doesn't bother me, to be honest with you. It might bother you, but it doesn't me. No. Some of you wouldn't even dream of that. But this man's been wearing the same clothes now for 40 years. Now, it's a miracle of God the clothes and didn't wear out, isn't it? Another miracle of God that it didn't. And now here he is in the city of Jericho. He says, you know what? Those clothes look really nice. Those garments are really fancy. I'd love to have some new clothes after 40 years, and I think I'll just take me some. Now listen, God has said all of it is to be destroyed, and they all know it. But covetousness has got a hold of his heart. And he took of that which God called the accursed thing. The reason why it's called the accursed thing is because it's under judgment. The city of Jericho and everything in it has reached the point of God's judgment, and is under judgment. And the Bible says he took some of the clothing, saw some of the treasures that the people of Jericho had there in their tents and sit in their houses. And he said, you know what? I'd like to have some of that as well. Haven't been able to buy my wife anything for years now. He's married now. He's got a wife. He's got some children now. He says, I haven't been able to, listen, we got married, but I couldn't give her a wedding present. I didn't have any place to go buy anything. But look at this. I think, now I'm making all that up, but you can use your imagination a little bit, can't you? He grabbed some of that stuff and he took it to his tent. And the Bible says that he buried it inside of his tent. He hid it there. And listen to me now. Now in the camp of the Israelites, in their camp, ladies and gentlemen, there's the accursed thing. He trespassed against God. And the Bible says that God knew about it. And his anger was kindled against the children of Israel, against the camp of Israelites. So verse number 2 says, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now remember now, Jericho is a great walled city, ladies and gentlemen, that God gave them the victory. The walls came tumbling down. And about 15 miles away is a little town. This is just a small little town, not a big city like Jericho. The little town called Ai. Now I love Ai, don't you? When you're reading through the Old Testament, when you come to the names of some of these towns and some of these people, I tell you, they are tongue twisters and I mess them up, don't you? But I love this one. It's just Ai. It's just Ai. And so the Bible says he sent some men to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and he's spoken to them and saying, go up and view the country. So the men went up and they viewed Ai. And then they returned, verse number 3, to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor therewith, for they are but few. Just a little old town. If you send 2,000 or 3,000 men, that'll be more than is necessary. So the Bible says, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And listen to this now, verse number 4, and they fled before the men of Ai. Just a small little town. About 3,000 Israelites get the assignment and they go up against this little town called Ai. And look at them now. They come up there to take the town, but look at them. They're on the run. And the reason why, verse 5, the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Sherem, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the heart of the people melted and became as water. Joshua sent up some men to take just a little town, sent about 3,000 men to take a little bitty old town. The Bible says they met up at the gate, the men of the city, and they put them on the run, and they're chasing them down. And before the battle is over, 36 Israelite men are dead, and they couldn't take the city. The Bible tells us. And whenever they found out, when Joshua and the Israelites found out about it, the Bible says their hearts melted and became as water. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? It means, ladies and gentlemen, that they were scared and discouraged and robbed of all of their courage. Their hearts melted like water. And Joshua rent his clothes in verse number 6. He tore his clothes. He fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and all the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. The Bible tells us here not only about the sin of Achan, but there's a curse upon Israel. Now they have no power over the enemy. That is, they can't win a victory. There's no power over the enemy. There's no victory. The blessing of God that they saw at Jericho is gone. There's no blessing. You say, Pastor, where are they? They're at a roadblock, aren't they? And they're not able to move forward. They're not going, and they're not growing. They're at a roadblock. And the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out the reason why is because this man Achan trespassed against God. And so Joshua got to praying. He did the right thing. Oh, listen to me now. You might notice some things going on here that might be kind of like repentance. The Bible says in verse number 6, again, Joshua rent, he tore his clothes. You see, why is he tearing his clothes? As an expression of the great burden and despair that he's feeling. And the Bible says he fell down to the earth. His positioning demonstrates that he's not just saying prayers, but this man is desperate before God to get a hold of God in prayer. He fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening time, fell on his face before the ark of the covenant all day long. He's been praying and seeking God. And the Bible says the elders of Israel, they did it too, and they put dust upon their heads, another expression of the anguish and burden that they're under. And here's what Joshua said in verse number 7, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side. God, have you brought us all this way now to let us be defeated by a little old town of men called Ai? You're going to let us go down. If that's the case, and we'd have been better off to stay on the other side of Jordan. Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies?" How am I going to explain that when the enemies are chasing us away? "For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it," verse 9, "and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" He got to pray and he said, "God, what are we going to do whenever the Canaanites, the people groups in the land that heard about Jericho, when they find out that the little old town of Ai put us on the run, they're all going to get together. They're going to be emboldened, and they're going to all get together, and they're going to surround us, and they are going to destroy us." That's his prayer as he's getting honest with the Lord. So the Lord said unto Joshua in verse number 10, God responded. There's an answer. And he said, "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face?" He poured out his heart to God. And listen to me now, that's the right thing to do. When you come to a roadblock in your life, God has shut things down and you're not going and you're not growing, then something is not right. Listen to me now, something isn't right. You might not even know what it is yet. Hey, Joshua doesn't. All he knows is he's not getting any victory in his life. All he knows is he's living in defeat. All he knows is that the enemy has him on the run. The enemy has some strongholds on him and has him on the run. He's being defeated by the enemy. Hey, that might be where some of you are at tonight. You may not know exactly why or what it is yet, but you know that you're not living in victory, but you're living in defeat. You know the enemy is having a heyday and chasing you around. You say, what do I need to do? Do what Joshua did and get on your face and begin to seek God and begin to pray until God starts speaking. Stay there. It might be all day long. It might be all week long. But get on your face and begin to pray. And listen to me now. If you have to, forego a few meals so you can spend that time in prayer and seek after God until God begins to speak. And that's what he did. The Lord finally spoke and he said, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up. Get up. Don't be staying there laying on your face. That is, prayer time is over. I've heard your prayer and it's time to get up and do something. So get up and get off your face. He said in verse number 11, here's the problem. Israel has sinned. That's the problem. Their sin. Israel has sinned. They've trespassed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, that is those items under judgment, they've taken them and they have stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therein lies the problem. The Bible says in verse number 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. That's why you're at a roadblock. That's why you were defeated, because of this sin. That's why they turned your backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore. Listen to this. God is saying, I'm not going to be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed from among you. And that is, I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to give you any victory. You're not going to go anywhere. You're going to sit right here at this roadblock until you deal with this accursed thing and get rid of it. So you want to get the victory in the land? You want the land of blessing? Canaan is the land of blessing, flowing with milk and honey. If you want the land of blessing and not just sit right here at this roadblock, but go ahead and take the land of blessing, all the blessings that God has for you in the land of Canaan, then you got to deal with this sin. You got to deal with it. You've got to destroy it. You got to get rid of it. So he said, get up in verse number 13, up. Sanctify the people. Here's what you say. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Set yourself apart for tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from... Stand up and tell them. So listen, the reason why that we lost the battle are not winning the victory, the reason why that we're at a standstill at a roadblock is because there's sin. There's an accursed thing that's been taken among you. And you're not going to get any victory until you get rid of it. So he did that. He said in the morning, verse 14, therefore you shall be brought according to your tribes. That is, he's going to bring all the tribes of Israel, there's 12 of them. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought or worked folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up in the morning, verse 16, and he brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. That is, God said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to search. You're going to do a search and find out where the sin's at. Now, I want you to see this, okay? And that is, you're at a standstill. You're not going to experience the blessings that God has for you. You're not going to win victories. You're not going to be able to become everything God wants you to be, take all the blessing, all the land of blessing that God wants you to take. You're not going to be able to do it until you get rid of this accursed thing. So God said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to bring the 12 tribes in front of you, and I'm going to show you which tribe it is. And then once the tribe is chosen, which was the tribe of Judah, then I want you to bring the heads of the families there, and I'm going to show you which one, which family it is. And then God said, I'm going to have you to bring the families there, and God is going to narrow it down to the family, and then he's going to narrow it down to the very person who has committed this trespass against God. Now, to make a long story short, not to bore you too much longer, that's what Joshua did. And I don't know how God showed him. It may be that God was just speaking to him in his heart. It may be there was some kind of a sign that God gave him. I'm not sure how God did it, ladies and gentlemen. But God revealed to Joshua through that process of eliminating and narrowing it down to a tribe and to a family and to the families within that family and then to the individuals. God narrowed it down to this man called Achan. He narrowed it down to trouble. Achan. And Achan had to get honest that he had taken the accursed thing. Listen to what it says in verse number 19. Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua. Here's what he said. "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. I've done it." He's confessing his sin. And thus have I done. He said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels of weight, I coveted them and took them. And behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So Joshua sent the messengers and they ran to the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and all the children of Israel, laid them before the Lord. And Joshua said to all Israel with him, they took Achan and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them into the valley of Achor. Listen to verse 25. Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us?" Well, I'll tell you why. That's his name. "The Lord shall trouble thee." Hey, Achan, troublemaker. Now you're in trouble. And all Israel, listen, stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Absolutely. If you keep reading on, and I won't take the time to do it, but after they searched for the sin, after they confronted the corruption, they cleansed the camp. They cleansed the camp. If you read on in Joshua chapter number 8, ladies and gentlemen, God spoke to Joshua and he sent his men and Ai fell. Oh yeah. And now they're back on track. They're back on the right road. As a matter of fact, they're on the right avenue, aren't they? And that is leading to blessing and the blessing of the land that God gave them. But listen to me now, God had this roadblock because there was sin among them, sin in the camp. And listen, that sin had to be dealt with. That is, it had to be confronted, it had to be confessed, and it had to be forsaken and dealt with. It had to be rooted out of their camp. You say, "Pastor, that sounds harsh to me." I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's God's view of sin. Now listen, here's what God wants you to do. If you're just kind of at a roadblock and you're stuck and not growing and not going and not being everything God wants you to be, you know. Listen, since God has saved you, that He wants to use you and bless you. He has gifted you so much and He wants to use you for His glory and bless you at every turn in your life. But there's a roadblock in front of you. You just stop and you're not going and growing. And you say, "Pastor, I don't know why." Just do what Joshua did and get on your face and ask God and do a search and let God show you what it is. And it may well be that God will show you something in your life. You may already know what it is that needs to be treated for the trouble that it is. That's right. For the aching that it is. Whatever it is causing you nothing. Listen to me. I want you to hear this and I'm going to be done. Whatever that is in your life that's got you stopped is nothing but trouble. It's nothing but aching. It's going to bring nothing but trouble into your life. It's going to rob you of the blessings that God has for you. If you've got trouble in your hand, and you know what it is. If you've got trouble in your heart, and you know what it is, then you need to do with it like Israel did with their trouble, with their aching. And that is, you need to destroy it. Did you hear me? There's no place for it in your life. Confess it for what it is, forsake it where it is, and turn to the Lord and let Him be Lord of your life. Destroy it. It might be something that needs to go to the trash can tonight. When you get home, if you know what it is, go ahead and get it and throw it in the trash can. Put a lid on the trash can and weld it down so you can't open it up. Get rid of it. If it's something that you need to deal with in your heart and mind, then deal with it and get rid of it. If it's a pattern of thoughts, then listen to me now. It's time to destroy those strongholds and get rid of them. Just like they did with Achan and trouble in the camp of the Israelites. If it's a person, then you need to get rid of that. It may be a friend that you need to stop being friends with. It might be a connection online that you need to stop that connection. Are you hearing me? You might be connected with someone that you need to stop that and you need to end it now. It may be a relationship that needs to stop right now. If it's not a relationship that you can stop, you need to establish some boundaries to stop the behavior that's causing the problem. But I'm going to tell you that whatever it is, if it's sinful thoughts, if it's sinful attitude, if it's a stronghold in your life, listen to me. Now, the Bible talks about strongholds in 2 Corinthians 10. If the enemy has built a stronghold in your life that's got you stopped so that you're not growing and you're not going, if that is the case, then ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says those strongholds need to be torn down. They need to be destroyed. They're nothing but trouble in your life. You know what it is. It might be a habit. It might be a substance. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that many of you right now, you know exactly what it is. It's trouble. It's Achan. It's trespassing against God. And it needs to be destroyed today. The reason why is so that you can go down this new avenue called repentance. You've seen your sin, you've searched it out, you've found out where the sin is at, and you've destroyed it. That's repentance. So you can head on down the road that leads to God's blessings. So when you face the enemy at Ai, you won't be defeated, but you can win the victory. Now you have an enemy. And listen to me now, you need to be winning the victory. But you're not going to win the victory if you're holding on to trouble. Don't excuse Achan. You say, Pastor, I feel sorry for him. Well, listen to me now. Don't feel sorry for Achan. Don't excuse Achan. Don't allow room for Achan to remain. You cut him off now. The same is true with that trouble in your life. Don't feel sorry. Don't make excuses. Don't make room for it. But get rid of it. Repent of it. The reason why is so that God can bless you. Amen. Is the avenue of blessing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your people and what you're saying to us. And God, how you're working in our hearts and speaking into our lives. And God, I pray, Father, that you would so operate and so move that, Father, those who are here that have some things in their life that need to be dealt with, Father, tonight, they do it now. They destroy that trouble for your glory. Father, pray for those who've never been saved, never received Christ, that you deal with their hearts tonight. Work your work in those souls. Draw those persons to yourself. God, reveal to them their desperate need to turn to Christ and receive him as Lord. Father, thank you for what you've said to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.